policy consultant Andrew Rathmel came to a similar conclusion. The military leadership did not do a good job of conceptualizing the campaign as an integrated political-military effort, sometimes failing to put tactical kinetic operations in the broader political context. This meant that tactical successes never added up and reinforced each other, but rather tended to peter out by themselves. The result was that each sector felt like a separate war, with different approaches and rules, showing a lack of coordination that runs against the repeated findings of theorists and practitioners of counterinsurgency. In the North, Petraeus's 101st Airborne conducted what was generally seen as a thorough and effective operation, balancing war fighting and nation building. Just to the south, in the Sunni Triangle, there was an increasingly tough little war, especially in the area to the north and west of Baghdad, where the 4th Infantry Division was based. The 82nd Airborne and the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment, operating to the west of Baghdad, posted a mixed record, with some successes and fewer mass detentions, but also with Fallujah, Ramadi, and the upper Euphrates Valley turning into increasingly tough problems. At the country's center, Baghdad became an area for a series of terrorist bombings. The good side of Rick Sanchez is, because all the division areas were different, he kind of left us to figure out what we needed to do and how to do it, said Swanick, who commanded the 82nd Airborne Division in Iraq twice, first in the invasion in the spring of 2003, and then in the fall and winter of 2003-4. Sanchez didn't offer much strategic guidance, he said. It was pretty much, you do what you need to do and I'll give you the resources. He would try to raise tough issues with Sanchez by email, but sometimes never received a response. I don't know why. Responsiveness to division commanders' issues was weak. I never got a visit from anyone from CJTF-7 staff, concurred Major General Odierno, who commanded the 4th Infantry Division in the northern Sunni Triangle. Sanchez visited me once, he added, holding up a lone index finger. Mosul, the biggest city in northern Iraq, could have erupted at any moment in 2003. As a U.S. military intelligence analysis warned at the outset of the invasion, Mosul came with a ready-made civil war, hosting some 110,000 former Iraqi army soldiers and 20,000 Kurdish militiamen happy to fight them. It also was the home base of the Iraqi Islamic Party, which had survived Saddam's efforts to crush it. The city overflowed with potential enemies of the U.S. occupation, so much so that Saddam Hussein's sons, Uday and Qusay, chose it as their hiding place. Despite that troublesome lineup, of all the divisions occupying Iraq in 2003-4, it was the 101st Airborne, commanded by Major General David Petraeus and headquartered in Mosul, that was most successful in launching an effective counterinsurgency campaign. Mosul and northern Iraq under Petraeus in 2003 offer a glimpse of how the occupation of Iraq might have been conducted more effectively, and in such a way that the hopes of bringing home most U.S. troops relatively soon might have been realized. There was no post-invasion pause in the north. Because the pace of U.S. operations never sagged, there was no breather in which the adversary could gain the initiative. The eerie silence and absence of U.S. military operational activity that defined the immediate weeks and months of transition were not present in the northern provinces. There was no hiatus, no ceasefire in the north, commented one officer, who served in Iraq first as an army historian and then as a strategist for Petraeus.